Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 423. We're up to the final film of the Taken franchise, finally, because this franchise is stupid. We're up to Taken 3 from 2014. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Okay, Nate, did you see this movie in the theater?
Yes.
Oh,
I did see this one in the theater with my friend and her mom. That's how I remember that I saw it in the theater. I met with my friend and her mom, and we saw Taken 3. And I'll tell you what, Alex, when I sat down and rewatched it, I didn't remember any of this stuff. None of it. None of it stuck in my brain when I saw it, because I was like, what? When I found out stuff, I was like, bro, this is a different movie. This is like the Mandela effect. This is a different movie than I saw in the theater. I don't know what happened.
I will say this. The only snippet I remember is when we did Taken 1 and we were talking about the future franchise. I was like, man, I remember one in a plane hangar. And this was it. I was like, okay, that's the only thing that I remember from this movie was that plane scene. Because I remember how stupid and ridiculous was, and I can't wait to talk about it because I still feel the same way as I felt when I watched it. I did not see this in a theater. I saw this on Blu-ray. Like, I saw the entire franchise. So, but I don't go back to this one, and there's a lot of reasons why, and I can't wait to actually break this one down more than part two, because I now, when I watched this movie, it started to hit me with memories. And I was like, oh, okay, now I remember why I didn't go back to this one. And this one, I can't wait, because this is another movie in our Action Movie Guys franchise that Nate picks and Forrest Whitaker makes an appearance.
That's my boy.
So I think he has the most appearance in 423
characters.
Yeah.
You know what? I love Forrest Whitaker. He's reliable, dude. He's never bad. You've never seen a Forrest Whitaker movie and be like, oh, Forrest Whitaker's terrible in that. It's never happened.
I remember you loved him in Rogue One with the crooked hair and the asthma. Don't do that. You're going to kill your voice. Okay.
You got to go. Whatever, he talks like that.
Come here, child.
Forrest Whitaker's my guy.
All right, here we go. Let's go to some financials here, because I think they could do another Taken 4 if they wanted to. Budget-wise, $48 million. Okay, three more from the last one, which was $45 million in part two. But it was kind of the same box office as part two. $326 million. So successful in the final of the franchise, which is kind of shocking, to be really honest with you. So,
bro, if they just kept making $45 million movies that made $300 million every time, they just make money every, like, just making money over and over and over. I can't believe this movie had that box office. It kind of ticked me off when you said that.
It looks like it did piss you off.
That pissed me off. I thought you were going to say like, oh, Taken 3, $45 million, but you know what? It only made 130, and that's why there's no part four. 320. It got to be a lot international. It has to be. I don't remember my theater being full when I went to see this.
It is. $237 million international, $89 million domestic.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, that makes a lot of sense. You're more happy. That sounds about right to me. All the Frenchies went out to see Luc Besson's latest. You know, produced film. Okay, that makes sense.
All right, Nate, what does the critics and the audience have to say about Taken 3?
All right, well, Taken 2 took a big tumble, if you remember. Huge losses. This one has less huge losses, but still worse scores. So we'll start with the audience. The audience went down 9%. So this has a 43% audience score. So last one had a 52. The first one had like an 85. The second one had a 52, and this one's down to a 43. Mm. But even worse, the audience score took another 9%. This has a 13% critic score. So this is like, we're scraping here like very, very horrible territory with a 13%. So 13 and 43, definitely the worst reviewed movie of the franchise.
That, I'm shocked. I'm mad shocked. And not because of the movie. I'm just saying those numbers are really bad. That's the most, I think we did a lot of franchises, and I think this is the most dropped. It has to be a second, because I know there's one that we did that was like a crazy drop, but this has to be another one that did a significant drop.
But this
got to
be the first one where they both, like every sequel dropped a lot. Like it went from really good to bad to horrible. I can't remember one like this.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. All right, well, let's get right into it. Lead character, Brian Mills for the final time, Liam Neeson, Lenore Grease.
Okay.
Jones, or what her name is, Maggie Grease.
Kim. Maggie Kim. Grace is the actress. Kim. I gave him a 4 again for the same reason I gave him a 4 in Taken 2. They don't really do anything different. However, I do think Brian Mills is a fine action movie lead character. So I'm not going to like knock him a lot. I do. The only aspect that's a little different here is he's trying to clear his name. This movie's not Taken. First, okay, I got to get this out of the way now. This movie should not have been called Taken 3. No one gets taken in this movie. Zero people get taken in this movie. In Taken 1, the daughter gets taken. In Taken 2, Lenore and him get taken. In this movie, no one gets taken. This movie should have been called The Fugitive 2. Because this is way more like The Fugitive than it is like a Taken movie. He's wrongfully framed for the murder of Lenore, and then he's on the run trying to clear his name. That's what this movie's about. And he's trying to figure out like who did it. This is The Fugitive. This is not a Taken movie. So I think that happened. I think the writers, Robert Mark Kamen, Luke Besson, were like, you know what? Let's make a Fugitive movie instead of another Taken. But it's called Taken 3, the first Taken movie where zero people get taken. So that's stupid. As far as him goes, yeah, he's like trying to clear his name, right? He's solving it. He's got his boys. I do like that they factored in his friends even more than before. Because like you said, I like those guys. Like I like their little unit. Yeah, they were cool. So I was with that. And also, he's not a bad guy. So I just want to talk about my boy, Forrest Whitaker. I liked him in this movie too, as the like detective. I don't like that they gave him all these weird quirks. Like he's always walking around with a chess piece. I'm like, what does that have to do with it? He's always like playing with the little knight from a chess set. And he always has a rubber band. He's like slapping his arm. I'm like, okay, one quirk is enough. Why two? Why does he have a rubber band and a chess piece? Give him one. But I do like him. And I like their dynamic, especially towards the end where they're like, you know, kind of, you know, he knows he didn't do it, but he still has to pursue him like he did. I like that dynamic. So there's a couple things I like in this movie and that's it. It's that sort of thing. So I gave him a 4 again. I still don't think it's a 5, but he was good.
All right. So I gave him a 4 too. I agree with you. I do like the friends more in this movie. I think this is what it should have been in going on in the sequels because they were so fun. I loved them when they were playing golf and they're talking smack. And he's like, you got, I love that one part. He goes, his friend, I think Sam or one of them he goes, man, you need to go to therapy. And he goes, why do I need to go to therapy? I got you guys. And they all start laughing because they all like have their weird quirky, but I like it though because it's their friendship. So I thought it was pretty cool. Lenore, I felt kind of bad in a sense of I felt like they killed her just to kill her. Like they did not need to kill her at all. It's just one of those stupid, they did not need to kill her. I felt kind of bad in that sense. And the way they killed her was kind of like so anticlimactic. Yeah, it was horrible. I thought it would have been something like her getting killed and she's screaming for him. And that's why they put it in the tape. Like why is she singing his name? I didn't like that. Okay, so Kim. Did not like her storyline at all. She gets pregnant, which you could see. She's a little chunkier, the actress. So I was like, okay, so I guess they're using the pregnancy. Or maybe she was really pregnant. I don't know. Because I don't know her personal life. But Kim was pregnant and they roll her ass off mad quick in this movie. And they did. Now they started focusing on Brian's skills. And then Brian Mills. I liked him. I thought he was really good in this movie. I thought it fit perfect, but you're absolutely right. This has nothing to do with Taken. I mean, the whole Taken franchise is all about someone's getting taken and he's got to do his stuff. This one didn't. Yeah, right. This is The Fugitive part. This is like U.S. Marshals 3.
U.S. Marshals 2.5.
2.5. Forrest Whitaker. I thought he was good. At times, he was annoying. I felt like he was annoying that he's eating the bagel. He's like, and I was just like,
the bagel. You knew it was warm. Eat the bagel.
He's a warm bagel.
Well, he didn't put no cream cheese on it. He's a psychopath. He just ate a dry bagel.
Was you don't eat dry bagels?
No, that's dry bagel. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, like I liked him some parts. Some parts he was just annoying to me. I was just like, the other two cops were annoying. The one that followed Kim and did everything. But anyway, I gave it a 4. I thought Brian Mills himself. I thought this was a good way to end his storyline. If this is the way you wanted to go, but killing Lenore was the dumbest move in this franchise. That I will stand on the mountains and say. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I was ready for them to get back together. And then all of a sudden she's dead. Like,
okay. Well, not even that. Kim has a pregnancy, like a coincidence. She's pregnant, doesn't tell the mom, and then she gets killed.
Also, this movie came out 7 years after the first Taken. Even if you go by that time frame, Kim would be 24 because she was 17 in the first movie. But she's still in college, like a sophomore. Is she supposed to be like 19? Are you trying to tell me that this girl, in three movies, she's only aged like 2 years. She looks 30. I mean, Maggie Grace is beautiful, but she doesn't look 19 or 20. And then he shows up with the bear, and she's like, thanks for the teddy bear, Dad. And now she has blonde hair. They're like, they're not even going to try with the dark hair anymore. They're like, nah, she just looked like your normal self. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, that was my last rant on that.
You're really ranting on this one. You're really like going in on Taken 3. Okay, main villain. So we got 2-4s here on the lead characters. Main villain.
Yeah, Stuart.
Your boy Stuart now is Spanish. The bad guy with the chlamydia in Mission Impossible 2.
Dougray Scott. Yeah, Dougray Scott is the actor. Yep. All right, listen.
Yeah, be honest.
You could rewind the tapes. Y'all could go back and listen. Taken 1. I liked Stuart. He's like, hey, Brian, you want to join us for lunch? Hey. Then they had that little bit of a, you know, they had a little spat. But then he's like, anything you need. I'll get you my plane. I'll get you, you know, go find Kim. You're telling me. Because, okay, let's go with my theory. Let's go with my theory that this is 2 years later because Kim is in college and is still taking, like, let's say she's a sophomore in college. Okay, let's say 3 years. Let's say this is 3 years. In 3 years' time, Stuart went from being seemingly a loving husband. He's rich, right? He has business ventures. He loves Kim. He doesn't seem like a bad stepdad. He loves Lenore. He's nice to Brian. He's like, hey, I know you guys got a kid together. We'll make it work, right? In the second movie, me and Stuart are having some problems. He, you know, he was going to take us on this trip, but now he's not taking us. He's too busy with his business. That's pretty much the extent. They don't really talk about him much. Yeah. To now, this dude is in deep with some Russian mafia people. He owes them money. He now creates an entire scheme to have it look to kill Lenore, first of all, which is wild, absolutely wild, that they went from having a little bit of marital problems to now he's cool with murdering her, to frame Brian so that he goes on the run and finds the Russians and kills the Russians for him so he doesn't have to pay them the debt that he owes them. And then what was his plan from there? You're just gonna kill Brian. You know you're not gonna kill Brian. So it is like, it's wild to me to think that these writers thought it was a good idea to take Stuart of all people and make him into this criminal mastermind that is shooting people, has all these schemes. He's outsmarting these Russians. As far as I give the Russians more credit. I liked them, actually. They seem like villains, right? I like the guy in the grocery store, the one who ends up, like, they fight and then he ends up shooting himself. I like that little fight. That was cool. I like the main rich, you know, he's like that. He's ugly, but he's like a playboy guy and he used to be in the military. And I don't have a problem. If they were just the main villain, it'd be like a 3. However, Stuart is gotta be one of the stupidest ideas. I don't understand how you could go from Taken 1 and you look at Stuart and it's a different actor. They didn't even get the same guy to play him. Now they went with a guy who had to be in more scenes. So they're like, let's get a better actor. Dougray Scott for Mission Impossible 2. You know, all this stuff, which, by the way, you know that guy, he was originally cast to play Wolverine in the original X-Men movies. And then it went to Hugh Jackman instead. But it was going to be him. So this was almost Wolverine. And thank God it wasn't. Because I hated this idea. I wrote down 2. And that was because of the Russians. However, now that we're talking, I'm going to give it a 1. Because it really pissed me off. And I thought it didn't make sense. And it was too, like, this guy's not a criminal genius. Give me a break. Like, there's just no reason. And then he's like, well, Lenore, I loved her. And, no, you didn't. You killed her. You had her killed. And you seemed pretty cool with it. And then he was going to, like, all. And then at the end, he tries to act tough. You know, I get lawyers where he's like, all right, you're going to go to jail when you come out. I'm going to, you know, what's going to happen. I'm going to find you. And then he's all scared and one.
I agree. I gave it a 1-2. I hated Stuart. Stuart is one of the worst arc in the Taken franchise. He went from a white dude that was super nice, brought ponies for his little stepdaughter, right? Threw big parties in that mansion. And he did business deals. Then in Taken 2, they had fighting. And Stuart said, no, Moss, you're not going to China no more. I'm taking those tickets back. You and Kim ain't going nowhere, right? And then Taken 3, they changed him to a Spanish dude and said, now you owe money to the Russians. When the hell did this guy went from Taken 1, Taken 2 to now dealing with the Russians, then knowing that once Brian finds out what's going to happen, he's going to get his ass whooped. And that's the thing I hate about this movie. Stuart's decision on killing people, knowing the ramifications of you're going to get your ass beat by the main cat. Like, he shot Sam. And the minute you saw Brian look at Sam, it pissed him off even more because he thought Sam was dead. And he jumped on that Porsche and took off and then found out that they were going on a plane thing. Well, honestly, Nate, This is one of the worst. See, on a Dominic Green scale, my man Stewart
is a Dominic
is high
Green.
Up there. He is the Dominic Green of the scale. Like, he's 5 out of 5 in that scale. And he's horrible. He's a horrible written villain in this franchise. At least the dad from the Istanbul, at least he did something. Like, I mean, he was bad anyway. So anyway,
at least he had a reason to be a bad guy.
Yeah. Stewart didn't.
All he did was owe some money.
I don't get it. And he had okay. So he owed money, but had Russian bodyguards with him and then had a bag full of money to get away in. Why didn't he just give him the money?
Remember, it's a life insurance policy for $12 million on Lenore. So that's why he was cool with getting her killed. But I'm like, because he thought she was cheating on him.
That is so dumb, dude. That's lazy writing. That's just to do a third sequel to do a third sequel.
Yep.
Because, I mean, come on. Like, anyway. And then you have the other fiasco with the cops and everything. So it, to me, just did not work. Anyway, I gave it a 1. You gave it a 1 also. Action scenes.
All right. Well, Oliver Megatron is back. This one is shredded to ribbons as far as the editing goes. Like this. Okay. There's a car chase scene. Brian is in like a little Honda Accord. And this like truck is trying to run him off a cliff. They're like driving on a mountain.
Yes, and, yes. He's following Stewart. Yes.
And then they're driving him off a cliff. And I kid you not, there is like 846 cuts in this sequence of this car coming behind him, hitting him, and knocking him off the cliff. And each scene is like maybe half a second long. It's like half a second. I was starting to get like a seizure from having this, like this screen was just like constantly cutting. This happened twice because it also happened at the grocery store fight, which I thought was a pretty cool fight, but they edited it to hell. I mean, the only reason I'm not going to give this a 1 is because there is a lot of action in this movie. And I did watch, I only had the unrated version. And there's some good blood, like in that cut, like a little bit more violence. I like that. Like, I did like the scene. I did like the scene at the grocery store, even though I don't like how it's edited. I did kind of like that fight. I did like the part where he's in that building and he drives the car down the like elevator shaft or whatever, and it explodes, and then the like that was pretty cool. So I think there was some decent action. It's just the editing is horrible. So I gave it a 2.
Okay, so before I review my luscious score here for action scenes, I will say this, the pros and cons for me. I hated the way this movie was edited. Worse than Taken 2. There's a scene in the movie when Brian holds the knife, holds Lenore. He goes, Lenore. And he's like, wake up. And he's trying to wake her up. And then the cops come in. He does the whooping. Jumps out the window. He's running through the alleyway. Within that sequence, I swear it was like 850 cuts. Him jumping over a fence. I literally thought I was going to catch a epilepsy. Like, it was that. And then him going into something. Every time he did hand-to-hand, it was like multiple cuts. Every time they were showing him running, sometimes he is slow. So you could see that was Liam Neeson. Then it shows them super fast. And I'm like, oh, that's a stunt double because he couldn't do this scene. I did not like it, Nate. I was not into it. The action sequences, yes, they were really cool, but I cannot stand by the cuts, bro. It took me away from the fun of the movie, of the action. Now, the scene that I gave this score was private jet is on the runway. Okay. It's about to take off. Yeah. Didn't have speed. Now the Porsche is going close to 100 to 80 to 200 miles per hour. We're assuming. What he is doing. It's going super fast. So I'm thinking he's hitting top speed. So that's like 180 to 200 on a Porsche, right? Without losing control. My man is wheeling and dealing. Does a 180 into the gate, which did not scratch the car, which I was like, what the fuck? He hit the gate nonstop in full speed. The car did not get scratched. No glass was shattered. He hit it. It just bounced off like nothing. Movie magic.
GTA, baby. GTA
version. Now he goes 200 miles per hour again on this one-to-one algorithm here. He's about to go 200 and a plane about to take off going at a speed of whatever. He clips this plane before taking off. Let me just tell you something, people. He hits it. The plane starts to spark, crashing. I am sorry. I'm not a aviator here, but I know that there is a fuel tank under that damn compartment. And if you're sparking that shit, there is an explosion that might happen right after. And we've seen a lot of airplane crashes in real life that when they hit without landing gears, they blow up. They don't spark and they stop. There was just a crash not long ago in South Korea that the damn Boeing 757 didn't landed without the fucking landing gear and it exploded because of the sparks. Now you're telling me he hits his car with his daughter on it, okay?
That's what I'm
on the plane.
Mister,
his daughter's on the
Kim,
plane.
I love Kim. He's okay blowing her up.
Yeah, he literally clips it with the back of the Porsche. The Porsche is nice and Gucci is there. And that's it, bro. I gave this thing a one because I'm sorry. And I know people are going to be like, oh, but it's a movie. But then there's the elements of like superhero walk away. You cannot hit a car at 200 miles per hour and hit a flying plane at the same time. And there's no repercussions. Like the plane should have ignited. It should have been fire at least. Like a little trail of fire at the in the back end. I would have been like, oh, damn, they got to get Kim off this plane because it's going to explode with the bad guy in it. No, not even Nate. That joint scraped and it just stopped right there. And I said, come on, bro. Cannot tell me
this. This is like the less good version of that part in Transporter 2 where he flips the car and takes the bomb off the bottom on that hook.
Yes. Yes. That and the part where my man, Castor Troy, John Travolta, stops Nicolas Cage from taking off and he rams his Hummy into the damn plane and he shoots the flaps or whatever.
Yeah, but this was less cool, but it's similar.
Yes. This one was less cool because you're going, wait a minute. Like, and then logic, when you're watching, you're going, come on, bro. Like, you're literally two vehicles at top speed, no fire, no nothing, no injuries, no. Him not flipping the car, he hit the damn thing and and there's dirt on the thing. He slid into the dirt without even doing the side flips. And I was just like, come on, man. He gets out all, he's like this, he's like hot wobbling, and then he holds the gun. And I was just like, oh, man.
And my man is like 65 years old, and he's doing a lot of stuff without, like, he escaped that earlier plunge off the mountain by jumping out of the car as soon as it started going. And then, like, somehow they didn't see him. Like, he lands on the cliff or whatever. They walk up to the edge and throw a grenade, and they didn't see him.
Oh, and that was a perfect throw grenade into the car.
Right into the car, and they didn't see it. If he should have been right there in front of them, if how it happened is how it happened.
I know people are going to be like, man.
Stupid movie.
Everyone's going to be like, Alex, you're nippy. I'm sorry, man. No. I'm calling it like it is. That is one of the worst lazy scenes I think I've seen. But anyway, I thought it was cool writing it, going, man, 200 speed.
And maybe
it's top notch.
And the concept of it sounds cool. The execution wasn't.
No, it's not. Now, if it was a seven, like a Boeing 757, I would have said, okay, maybe it is logic because it's a big plane. It's not top speed. He could clip it. The back drops. I would have been like, fine. This is a private plane, bro. That thing is equivalent to his car. So anyway, I gave it a one. You gave it a two. Okay, storyline.
All right. Again, this is The Fugitive 2. So this is not taken.
The Fugitive 2.
I feel gypped. No one got taken. I was a little upset. We already touched on it. This storyline is ridiculous. You have Stuart going from a nice new husband to be in a criminal mastermind, which I hated. But Brian Mills is, you know, he has a special set of skills for finding people and all this stuff. Now he's also a detective and he's able to solve the crimes as well. One. I give it a one. I think it's bad. I really do. I think it's overly, it's like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like they wrote too much stuff and put it all in the movie. No one said, hey, maybe we should take this idea out or take this. It's like every idea they had, they put it in the movie. And sometimes you got to take some stuff out. And this movie's the longest one, by the way. This is almost 2 hours. It's an hour and 55 minutes. The first one was like, I think, an hour 40. The second one's 90. This one's almost 2 hours. And it's just stuffed full of crap. And so I gave it a one.
Okay, so this is very interesting because I gave it a one. I don't like the storyline. I'm not going to hold this up because you said everything here felt like this storyline was, you said it, it's stacked. It was so much going on. It was, you know, Kim is pregnant. Lenore's dead. So that didn't do. She never told the father that she was pregnant until she was in the school because he had to drug her with being sick. So again, I just felt like it was way too much. You're right. This is The Fugitive Part 2, but in a weak way. Whereas I think it could have been better if you wanted to go down the storyline. You could have did it so much more grand and big with Lenore and Kim in the storyline, fused in there, instead of just making this whole like off the in the run type storyline. I just didn't like it at all. It just didn't work. I mean, Brian Mills should have been arrested regardless because he, first of all, beat up cops. He pretty much crashed the cop in the car, took the car, cop car. I mean, this guy
hacked into their database.
Oh, yeah, hacked into the database. Like, he pretty much is a felon at this point, but he gets a nod because they caught the bad guy. And he shot the guy in the stomach. I would have killed him, but it is what it is in that sense. But I didn't like it at all. I didn't think it worked. And the action sequences, even when he got to the Russian, less climactic for me, bro. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Yeah, it was too short.
They shot each other. He shot him two times in the stomach, and it was just like, bleh. I was just like, this is whack. I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of whack. So anyway, with that said, what you got for overall?
So I know I just gave it a couple of ones, but I'm going to give the movie a two. Only because Brian Mills, I do like Liam Neeson in this movie, and I do like the stuff with his friends, you know, working together, and I like Forrest Whitaker. I think I like the acting. Some of the acting's pretty good, and it's mostly from them, just those guys, because you're right. I think Maggie Grace is not good, and I don't think she's good in any of them, but I think she's really not good in this one. I hate the Stewart storyline. I hate the storyline in general. I think the action is just, I gave it a two, because there's a lot, but I don't know. I almost gave it a one, but I'll stick with a two. I think it's bad. I do think it's bad. I say it's a little worse than Taken 2, but they're in the same ballpark to me. Like I'd never want to see either one of them again. So I'll give it a two.
I gave it a two also. I didn't give it a one. I was going to give it a one, but then I said, you know what? There's some stuff that was entertaining. Like if I was doing laundry, I could put this on and watch it in the background. Like it's not a horrible, horrible movie, but in a sense of a sequel to an action franchise, this is actually pretty bad. In terms of arc, story arc, you kill the wife for no damn reason. You didn't need to. Stewart's the bad guy when this is like a total 360 from the Stewart from the first film, unless she married another Stewart that we did not know. Okay, sure. But everything just felt so not Taken for me. So yeah, I gave it a two. So what's your total points?
All right. Total points for me, 10 out of a 25. By the way, I want to read you Oliver Megatron's filmography real quick. This is Luc Besson's go-to director for crap. He directed Transporter 3, Taken 2, Taken 3. And then a movie I kind of like, Columbiana. He did Columbiana. That's his like probably best movie. But even still, if that's your absolute best movie, pretty bad. 10 out of 25 for me.
Yeah, mine is a 9 out of a 25. Nice. This is the lowest one out of the franchise. Again, this franchise is not as good as you think it is. No. After the first movie, everything just falls apart. But Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, so we are wrapping up. I love when we wrap stuff up because that means I get to announce something new. So we are wrapping up our female-led action movie month, and that is going to be with Aliens, a small movie, Aliens, no big deal. And now that we're done with Taken, we're moving on to a new franchise, okay? This is another 3-movie franchise, so we won't have to spend 30 years covering 19 movies with this one. This is our boy, Uncle Jerry, Gerard Butler. We're going to be doing the Has Fallen series, as I like to call it.
Yes!
We're going to be doing a little Olympus Has Fallen, a little London Has Fallen, and then a little Angel Has Fallen. So that'll be our next franchise. Yeah, I've walked out of Angel Has Fallen. I didn't finish it. I went to the theater to see it. I remember something happened. Like I had to like leave. I have seen the first two. So, but I'm interested to see the rest of Angel Has Fallen. It'll be the first time me watching the whole thing. But yes, that's going to be our next franchise coming up.
I can't wait. I like those movies. It's weird. I haven't seen them in ages, though. I can't be like, oh, I love them or whatever. I watch them all the time. I don't. Like, I haven't seen them in a long time. And I know for a fact, 1 and 2 never came out in 4K. Those are Blu-ray.
Number one is Antoine Fuqua, too.
Yes. So that's when I was introduced to the Fuquanis.
Yeah.
Is that one. So, okay. Well, there you guys have it. Next episode will be Aliens. So we're going to do that. So with that said, guys, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave some comments in your favorite episodes. We'll reply back. And then, of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. And then, of course, you can follow Geeks and Flicks over on Instagram and TikTok under Geeks, the letter N, and Flicks. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nate Flicks Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.